If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Padres are exploring a sale. It looks like Jim is exploring the sale of property as well. All right. John and Jim with you here on the wrap-up show. We'll be with you for the next hour. Jim's in a situation. He's in a bunker right now. Location unknown. But we're going to be with you here reacting to the news that broke here today. The Seidler family is exploring a sale of the San Diego Padres. There's so many angles here, obviously, to discuss, maybe an inevitability since Shill Seidler's lawsuit that dropped earlier in 2025 to where we are today, just 2 years after the passing of Peter Seidler. John Seidler and company, the Seidler Bros, so to speak, will be selling, apparently, the San Diego Padres. We're here to react to it all. So make your way in and subscribe here on content, as you know, for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X. We'll get your super chats if you want to weigh in, if you want to contribute, if you want to support. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We appreciate you. If you want to become a member, you can click that join button down below. Kind of a unique day. Maybe we saw it coming, but we didn't know today would be the day. This coming after Peter Seidler had expressed interest, Jim, in the team remaining in his family's name for 50 to 75 years. This coming after Eric Rupner said 9 months ago that the Seidlers see this as a generational asset, the San Diego Padres. And here we are, middle of November, 2025. And it appears as if the Padres have a for sale sign outside Petco Park.
Yeah, it's a sad day, but you could also view it as, you know, exciting. Look, I don't think that, this is just going to be a smooth transition and the next owner comes in and everything is great and they have a deep pocket book and they love the team and they love the fans and they'll do anything to win. Like, I don't think it's going to be as smooth as that. I think all Padres fans would love that, but there is hope for that now. With John and the Seidler Bros in charge, there was no hope for that. There was no hope for an owner with deep pockets. There was no hope for an owner that truly cares about this franchise the way that Peter did. There was no hope for you to ever hear from John ever in the future. Nothing. There was no hope for that. At least with this news today, there's hope for that in the future. Will it happen? I mean, that's to be determined. I don't think that it's a great chance of happening, but at least there's a chance of it happening with the Seidler Bros in charge and their dispute with Shill over the ownership of the team and the fact that John never spoke to the media to express, you know, who he was to the fans. It was just one sit-down interview with Kevin where Kevin wrote like a three paragraphs on how John Seidler was a massive Dodger fan and probably still is a Dodger fan at heart, realistically. And that's all we knew about John. And, you know, that you can look at it both of those ways, right? But there's no doubt today is a sad day for Padres fans. There's no way around it. I mean, 2 years, almost to the day after Peter Seidler tragically passes away and the team is up for sale. I mean,
yeah,
my money sucks, but this is what I got to work with tonight, guys, and just got to deal with it.
Yeah, like, do you need money? Do you need help? Okay, we'll get to these supers that are rolling in. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. I mean, I would say, well said. I think in the short term there might be some pain felt from Padres fans to hopefully come out on the better side. On the other side of it, the part I don't like is that I feel like Padres fans have been misled the last 2 years. That's the part I really don't like. I don't feel like it's fair the way this has played out. Like when Peter passed and we were told that they would honor his legacy and help fulfill his dream to today, I feel like that was all words and not action. And that's disappointing. Obviously, nobody was hoping that Peter would pass in an untimely manner. But the Seidler Bros kind of promised us more than this, unfortunately. And yes, Mike, like that they promised us more than this, yet here still we are. And I just wonder what it's going to mean on field. Like they didn't spend anything in 2024, 2025. Let's be honest. Okay. They might have the top 10 this, top 10 that stopped. It was already there from Peter. It's only gone down from Peter. And in 2026, it's not going up. And there's so many questions in the air with 2026. Don't tell me this isn't impacting their ability to win in 2026. That's a bold-faced lie. They can say that. So I hope it's sold sooner rather than later. I hope it's the right ownership group, but we can't be assured of that, unfortunately, right now. And I hope someone ultimately delivers on the promise of bringing a championship to the city of San Diego, because Peter certainly tried. But I don't think the brothers really followed through in the efforts of Peter Seidler. I think they used his name in a lot of the PR spinning of the last 23 or 24 months, but what we've seen over the last few years under the Seidler Bros is not what we saw under Peter Seidler. So good riddance. Let's get this process started so Padres fans can reap the rewards, hopefully, on the other side. It's bullshit if Padres fans have to deal with this whole situation and we watch it transpire to the field and they're not as competitive as they should be. They're not going 60-102 next year. Give me a break with their roster. But are they going to be able to truly compete to win a championship in 2026? That seems a little far-fetched as I see it right now, but who knows? I just feel like we were misled. I hate for a fan base as good as the San Diego Padres to be misled by the Seidler Bros, but that's how I feel today.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. This fan base was led to believe that this team would be in the possession of the Seidler name and the Seidler family for generations to come, and that they were going to uphold the legacy of Peter. And that was something that they just like flat out said multiple times. I bet you if I go back and I look at all the press releases that were sent out from, you know, Eric Kotsenda and Eric Grubner and John Seidler, you know how many times I'd probably see the name Peter Seidler mentioned in those press releases? I would bet you almost damn near every single one of them. And to then use his name, but have a vision of selling the franchise, you're using his name to try to win the fans over. Because everybody loves Peter. Everybody loves Peter. You know, he's got murals. He'll probably get a statue one day, right? He brought this team into a stratosphere, and he brought this team into up to a level where they've never been before. You know, for a 3-year period, you know, Padres fans in the offseason, it was like, hey, we can literally get anybody. We can get Aaron Judge. We can get re-sign Manny Machado. We can make these trades. We can do that. Like, there was a period of time, and we lived it, where anything was possible because of Peter Seidler. Now, revisionist history, you might look at it and say those moments of anything's possible and Peter going out and spending a bunch of money, potentially, you know, in the end, it created this situation, right, where the team is strapped for money. They have a bunch of loans they got to pay off. They're in a bunch of debt. You know, I don't think, though, anybody knew that the TV deal would shit itself and they would not have a TV deal, right? But at the same time, I also look at Eric Grubner and say to myself, like, isn't your job as the CEO supposed to get a TV deal struck and done? And you did nothing. Like, I kind of look at, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of all that, but at the same time, I'm like, man, you really did nothing at all to try to, you know, get something done to get some cash flow in here. But at the end of the day, I'm with you. Good riddance. You know, this team is going to hopefully, knock on wood, be better off on the other side now that this group, the Seiler brothers, are going to be selling, I hope. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, the domino definitely fell the second that the Shield lawsuit came out back in January. And we played it on today's show. We had the guy on, I forget his name. What's his name?
Eben Novi Williams from Sportico.
He broke the story of this lawsuit between Shield Steidler and the Steidler brothers. And look, Shield was right. She was afraid, and it says in there, she was afraid that if the team were to be under the brothers' control, that she was afraid that they would either sell and or relocate the team. The relocation stuff, that's just like fear-mongering. That's just putting fear into everybody. It's not going to happen. But the selling part, that came to fruition, and she was right.
Dude, you know what I just thought about? How on earth is the flagship going to spin this? I didn't listen to the flagship for 1 second, did I?
Me neither. I didn't listen.
And I'm so thankful I don't have to be put in that position, because like this is where you really need to be as unbiased as possible. Like, this is where Padres fans deserve the truth. You cannot spin this. There's been a lot of spin jobs over the years. And to your point on Peter Seiler, by the way, I'd rather fail trying than not try at all. Not to say Peter failed. Now, he didn't win a championship, okay? And he wanted one, and we all want one. But what Peter did is so respectable because he did it with all the headwinds, against all odds. Let's spend even though we're told we can't. It's not sustainable. Look at what Ken Rosenthal is saying. You know what? Maybe everyone was right, but fuck it. At least you tried. Where what the Seiler brothers have done is, let's effectively manage the process, but we'll use Peter's name. We'll headline it with Peter's name, but in all actuality, the only reason we're extending Jackson Merrill is because how can't we? The Merrill deal is so bad for Jackson Merrill, the players' union is fighting it. So let's sign that deal. I mean, that's a deal worth signing. It's such a bad freaking deal for the player. The union doesn't even want him to sign it. But if you really think about it, from Peter's passing until today, the ownership has done nothing from a spending prowess positioning. Like, if you didn't sign Jackson Merrill to the long-term deal, you'd be negligent to your organization and franchise. Like, if you didn't sign that deal, I don't even know what you'd say. I think the Miami Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates are signing that deal if offered to them in that circumstance. So I am hopeful for the other side of this, but as we've said before, sometimes once you get on field, it's like, it's not gonna be any worse, right? Well, there's some awful owners in professional sports. We've seen them in San Diego, right? Spanos, family for forever. Clippers, obviously the situation that played out for forever.
Hey, bring Jeff Morad back.
I mean, listen, that's the thing. There are groups that are going to present themselves, and some are going to have like worthy, you know, some will be worthy and some will be like unworthy, and some will have deep pockets but won't have the passion for San Diego, and others will have the passion for San Diego but won't have the deep pockets. You got to find the right group. Here's the thing. I don't trust they're going to do that. I trust they're going to find the highest bidder. It's like when I sell my house, I don't care if freaking Jim moves into it or freaking, you know, the Philly Fanatic moves into it. I just want the most money. Where you'd like to believe what Rob Manfred wrote today in a press release, I don't buy it for 1 second. And what the Padres wrote today in a press release, I don't buy it for 1 second. Oh, we'll find the right steward for the future of the San Diego Padres. No, you won't. If someone's going to offer you $1.9 million and someone's going to offer you $2.2 million, and the $1.9 million is the greatest donor ever and $2.2 is the worst donor ever, I think you're going to take the $2.2 over the $1.9. I hope I'm wrong, but that's business. That's life, and money talks. So that's my... that's my concern. There are grave concerns here. I have a lot of concerns. I'm hopeful and optimistic, but I'm always hopeful and optimistic, and it doesn't always plan, you know, turn out the way you plan for.
Yeah, for Padres fans' sake, I hope that John Seidler and Matt and whoever, whatever the other brother's names is, get the right buyer. Like, I hope for Padres' sake that happens. But like you said, it's really hard to trust in them to do that because they don't have the trust of the fan base. They don't. They try to use their brother's name to gain that trust, and everyone saw right through it. I mean, it was the easiest thing to see through in the entire world. So do I trust a guy who, A, didn't want this position, didn't want to be the owner of the team, is a Dodger fan at heart, can't speak to the fan base, you know, honestly and openly? Do you trust that guy? And also the brothers who, you know, are fighting with the widow of the most beloved owner in Padres franchise history and essentially like shunning her from being a part of this organization. Do you really trust them? I would probably say no, I don't. But I hope I'm wrong, and I hope the right buyer comes along for Padres fans' sake, because I mean, I brought this up today on John and Jim. Mark Cuban. I would say Mark Cuban is like a Peter Seidler, or was like a Peter Seidler. Would you say so?
Maybe in a desire to win, but not the same. Like, he's not the little engine that could, right? Because he had the deepest of pockets. But yes, a desire to win.
That's where I was going with.
And a passion for his franchise. Yeah. He's a massive Mavericks fan.
Yeah. The passion for the franchise, the desire to win, the respect of the fan base, the understanding of how important the fan base is. Like, you know, they won a championship. So it's, I would say Mark Cuban to me is like kind of one of the first names I think about when I think about other owners in professional sports that like I can see Peter Seidler in, right? Because of everything I just said. He recently just sold a majority share of the Mavericks to who the hell knows. What was one of the first things that the Mavericks new owners did? Signed off on a deal to trade away Luka fucking Doncic. Like, that could happen here, where they bring in some new owner. They got deep pockets, but they come in, and whoever the hell the GM is, they're like, yeah, trade Manny, trade Toddy, trade Mar-, like, do all, like, fires, like, blow this thing up. That could happen. So, I mean, I said today, this is a good thing, because get these guys out of here before they fuck things up even more. But you hope on the other side that whoever replaces them and buys the team isn't, you know, a bad owner.
I mean, to your point, it's a very fascinating one. The Padres have at least $300 million in debt, and a good way to free up $300 million in debt is to get rid of $300 million in future contracts, which is absolutely possible. Also, is this why AJ Preller has not been signed to a longer deal beyond 2026? Everything that's played out in the background. And also, was Craig Stammen aware of this? You have to assume the answer is yes. Let me get to some of these super chats, then we can react to all of that. JD Gatcher, thank you, man. Appreciate the first super of the night. Guys, if you're here, please subscribe. We're with you in season, out of season, from bunkers, from wherever the hell Jim is, here on the wrap-up show. So thank you, and thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. JD Gatcher says, Padres' new ownership group will be Musgrove's dog, Theo, UCSD's King Triton, USD's Diego Torero, SDSU's Monty Montezuma, and Point Loma's Splash the Sea Lion. I honestly don't hate that ownership group if they have the money. Like, I'm not convinced that they won't do a better job. He followed up and said, front person is Cal State San Marcos' mascot, Crash. Those are good super chats. Thank you. And then this from the sandwich that says, thank you, man, for the generous super. Says, hope the new owners don't tear it down like Jeter's group did to the Marlins. I mean, that was kind of Jim's point a moment ago. It's like, I mean, are we so certain, Jim? The San Diego Padres, they're not the New York Yankees. The Yankees, the magnifying glass is so significant. You can't go buy the New York Yankees and go change the focus of the franchise, right? Who's going to buy the New York Yankees and tear it down? But in San Diego, like, I'm not fully convinced something crazy couldn't transpire in San Diego. I hope not, but I think it's at least possible.
Because Steve Cohen purchasing the Mets recently. I mean, recently, and by recently, I mean, well, when did he purchase the Mets? Like 5-something years ago? I mean, it's been recent, right?
Yeah. From the Wilpons?
Right,
who exactly. Had no money. Yep.
Guess what he inherits when he purchases the Mets?
Tons of debt, right?
Well, tons of debt, but yeah. Also a TV contract. SNY, big one. You got a funnel there. Now, you had to pay off all the debt, which, of course, he did in a second because he's rich as fuck. But on the other side, you inherited a new stadium, relatively. What, 20 years? 10, 20 years? I mean, it's relatively
new. Right. It's newer. Yeah.
Newer. Okay. You inherit SNY. Like, you're in New York. It's just like, you're not the only one that's pumping money into this thing. You have revenue flows and money flows to pump some money into it as well. What do you have in San Diego?
Well, you don't have a TV deal.
No. And I said this the other day before the sale, we were talking about Fernando Tatis Jr. And I was like, there will become a time where this team sucks again. And at this moment in time, they're relying on you, the fan base, to help them pay for the on-field product. If the park isn't selling out every single game, and merchandise isn't flying off the shelves at an insane rate, it's going to be extreme. And it already is, by the way, because look, they're selling the team. It's going to be even more difficult to keep up with the Joneses, essentially, in baseball and have a payroll in the top 10, 11 every single year, which is what you need to have to win a World Series. I'm sorry. You can't win a World Series if you do not have at least top 11, 12 payroll.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to react to. I mean, remember, Eric Rupner said they're going to have a top 10 payroll, but he also
said they have a top 10 payroll.
And he also said it's a generational asset and they're not going to be sold. And 9 months later, they were sold. And yeah, that's the key point here. It's like saying, yeah, there's two ways to look at it. If Jim says I'm going to bench 225 pounds, but can already bench 225 pounds, what is he really doing? If I bench 225 pounds, that's the progress. But if Jim, I don't think Jim can bench 225 pounds, to be honest. I've never seen you bench, but I'd be
not
shocked.
Right now. I could. But, I could.
Yeah, it's all about like the perspective. It's all about that. Like, if you are already committing 200 million, don't tell me you're going to commit 200 million next year. You're already committing it.
Right.
You've already tied up $200 million. So it's almost hard not to spend the $200 million. So to me, it's a little bit of fake math is the conversation right now about the Padres payroll. That would be fascinating. Freaking have guys on stilts pitching in the eighth inning. Let's get back to this conversation in a moment. Do want to thank our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, who actually, the way I found out about this today was from Mark. Mark texted us this morning and said, Padres selling the team. I'm like, what? A dentist with Jones. Jones was having a dentist appointment. But Mark's a diehard man, diehard Padres fan. I wish someone like Mark bought the team, truthfully. I wish Mark had $2.5 billion to buy this team. I really do. If you support this channel, please support our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. He is a diehard, lifelong Padres fan and a damn good insurance agent. You could take it from us. I've got 3 insurance policies through Mark. I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. He took care of everything for me and my family. He'll do the same for your family. We'll talk to you about the Padres. We'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance as well. So whatever your needs are, auto, home, renters, life, earthquake, he's there for you. Click the link in the description down below. If you support this channel, support Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance and click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, all his information's on that ticker below and Nimitz at farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap-Up Show sent you.
I don't really lift, if I'm going to be honest. No, I don't. I don't. I go to Orange Theory. And I don't think I don't know if this is accurate, Andres. And thank Jim, the Mets only generate $12 million more than the Padres last year. I don't see how that's possible. I don't see it. What's their TV deal? Someone go into ChatGPT and tell me the Mets TV deal.
They also spent a lot more than the Padres last year.
Yeah, so if they only made $12 million more and spent $200 million more than the Padres, then credit to Steve Cohen.
Right. Steve Cohen, and I've seen charts. Steve Cohen takes like literally all revenue and puts it like right back into the team. Like it's a crazy amount.
Just trying to, I'm just doing the quick cursory glance at what they make in SNY. Somebody tell us. I mean, it's obviously a lot more than the Padres are making because the Padres are making nothing. JDMLSR 2000, thank you, man, for the super chat. Guys, if you are here, please subscribe. You're on content for you, and thank you for the super chats and the super thanks. Venture capital firms buying franchises is the current trend. How does new manager change the silent bats in 2024 NLDS, 2025 NL West division race? Okay, it's kind of 2 points, and thank you. There's no question that there's these large groups buying up franchises. They're worth billions of dollars. Who has billions of dollars? So they're large groups that are buying up sports franchises. Regarding the manager, I have no clue what Greg Stammen is going to do with the team. Like, honestly, like that. This just happened like 3 days ago, Jim. I have no clue what Greg Stammen is going to mean the next time the Padres are in the postseason. No clue. None whatsoever.
It's crazy because John Seiler sitting front row there. Didn't speak to anybody in the media, by the way. He refused to. Like all with all the little scrums at the end, he refused to speak to the media. Well, I don't know if anybody would have been like, hey, John, are you thinking of selling the team anytime soon? Like, what? No, I just think that he can't speak. Like, he's just like, I get it. I mean, public speaking can be very difficult for some people, but I mean, when you're the owner of a team, kind of have to do that a little bit. I mean, so
kind of have to,
kind of have to talk, because the buck stops with you, bro. I mean, venture capitalist firms, like, okay, that would be another thing too, is if like a group comes in and it's like seven different names and they're just like all together and we have no clue who they are, but
right, it's like they're behind just like a name, like it's the EBL finance group,
right? Yeah,
I mean, if it's Guggenheim, you know, if it's someone with unlimited resources.
Yeah. By the way, okay, to this point here, guess what the Mets have that the Padres don't? Steve Cohen. Like, right. You're forgetting that. Big difference.
Right. Like Steve Cohen, when you type into Google Steve Cohen net worth and it comes up $25 billion. And I have Kevin Acey. We have Kevin Acey on three times a week for years. And he tells me that the Seilers aren't even truthfully worth $1 billion. Not that they're poor. Make no mistake. I'm not saying these people are poor. But by ownership standards, it's like the Spanos conversation. I'm not saying Dean Spanos is poor. That's not the point. But how does Dean Spanos compare from a financial perspective to the other 31 NFL primary owners? I bet he's poor. When you put it in the perspective of that, compared to
he's paying a dollar. He pays a dollar a year to play at SoFi.
Exactly. And by the way, he has the same TV deal that the other 31 teams get. So he gets the cut where the Seidler / the Padres aren't. And that's a key distinction, I think, in the conversation. The Padres used to get $60 million a year in television. They currently get, I have no idea, absolutely nothing, basically, at this point. So also, think about it. If you're a prospective buyer, and by the way, what the hell is AJ Preller thinking here? Like, if you're Preller, you're good. You're cool with this. You're cool, I guess, if they'll extend you. But if I'm a prospective owner, like, what am I buying? Like, I'm buying $300 million of debt. I'm buying a team without a TV deal. What am I buying? I'm buying a passionate fan base and a great ballpark, but I'm not getting the sponsorship revenue of teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. I'm not getting the TV revenue of teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. And I'm getting $300 million of debt off the top. So, like, you know, like, is this, like, is everyone going to be clamoring? And is this going to be a bidding war for a team that clearly has some financial hurdles based on the freaking books, apparently, of the Padres with all this debt?
I mean, I said it today. Hopefully it's a bidding war. If you're the Seidlers, you want that. Mm-hmm. But a bidding war could also mean that the person that is best, you know, would be best for this fan base and franchise, the owner, might not get it and get outbid by somebody who isn't going to be as passionate, isn't going to really, you know, view this as, you know, this crown jewel type of asset to really invest and be, you know, invested in the team and love the team and love the fan base and be seen, be heard, you know, it could go the wrong way if it does turn out to be a bidding war, unless you got some deep pocket dude out there that, I mean, this thing is, it could go either way. It really could.
I mean, there's some amazing names. I mean, I don't think today's the day for names. There's some amazing names people will throw out there. But in terms of how realistic some of those names are, nobody has any clue. Keaton, thank you, man, for the very generous super chat. He says, Peter Seidler was a brilliant businessman who could raise capital like he did with PE firms behind the Dodgers and the Giants. His brothers aren't in the same stratosphere. If Peter were alive, he wouldn't sell. Rest in peace, legend. Kevin was on with us today for 17 or 18 minutes, Kevin Acey. And he went down a hypothetical path where maybe Peter even would be inclined to sell at this point. I think me and Jim, we commented on it after the fact. I find it hard to believe that Peter Seidler, if given the same scenario that his brothers are currently in, would sell this team. I just don't see it. I think his actions suggested that would not be the manner in which he went about business. I feel like he would find ways to create additional resources and revenue, whether that's with another group of investors or, I mean, I just feel like he's going to break down all walls to kind of solve the problem at hand. Nobody's going to know because he's not here. So nobody knows what would happen.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Have happened. I find it very hard to believe that Peter Seidler, the way he treated this team when he was in charge, would have sold this team today after two straight 90 win seasons with these core players. I don't see it.
No, I'm with you. I think Peter would have found a way. It might not have made fans happy, but Peter already gained trust of the fan base. And I think he could, you know, he was the ultimate optimist. And I think he could relay that to the fan base. Like, we need to do this, but trust me, because, you know, look what we've done in the past. Look what we've done. But we need to get through this to get on the other side type of thing. And I think Peter would have found a way. I think he would have found a way. We'll never know, obviously. And no one can ever know what would have happened if Peter were still alive. But the second Peter passed away, the countdown clock was on until this thing was going to get sold. And we have hit zero on that time right now. And it was a pretty quick countdown, honestly.
Remember, too, by the way, when the Seidler Group bought the franchise from the Morads in 2012 for $800 million, half was cash, $200 million off the top was debt, and $200 million was the TV deal that no longer exists. So my point is this. A quarter of what they were buying was a television deal. Well, now that quarter doesn't really exist for the next owner. Like, you had a $1.2 billion TV deal at the time, $1.2 billion long-term TV deal that no longer exists. So again, for the next owner, what are you buying? You're buying some bad contracts. You're buying an amazing fan base and franchise and facility. Okay. But like, have they tapped out the revenue sources? This is like what Eric Rubner would say, like on the fly. Like, where are you creating additional revenue? What are you going to do? Raise ticket prices every year? And even if you do, how much more revenue are you creating? 7%, 6%, 4%. Where's the revenue coming? Like, that's my question. It's like, as salaries go up for players, you're paying players $300, $400, $500 million. Where are you going
to No idea.
In a hot dog?
No idea. No, I mean, yeah, make a hot dog $7,000. I have no idea. I don't pretend like I know their books, nor does anybody know their books. And if anybody tells you that they know what they're making or not making, they're lying because they don't. Nobody knows. Nobody knows except for them. I do think one little side note that wasn't talked about a lot, but I think really, really hurt them is the fact that they had no home postseason games this year and no revenue from playoff gates.
Yeah,
I think if you would ask them like the financial side and you would ask Grubner and Cyber Bros and you give them truth serum, I bet you that they would say they're more disappointed the fact that they didn't get any home playoff games than the fact that they lost in the postseason. I really do.
I mean, maybe.
Because that's a lot of money right there that they missed out on.
Here's something for you, Jim. When Mike Schilt walks, does he walk with the knowing of the state of the franchise?
I don't think so.
It was October 13th. It wasn't long ago.
I think he walked for, multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe most were his own reasons. Quitting on the team like he did. I mean, Joe kind of went down the path of like, I didn't like how this thing ended with Mike. But then he went to go praise him, which is interesting. Maybe he was pushed out a little bit too. I don't think it had much to do with Mike being savvy enough to know that this team was about to sell.
Yeah, you're probably right. Also, if I'm like, I'm just thinking about this managerial search and how Craig Stammen ultimately becomes the one in charge of the Padres moving forward. He had to know. Clearly, Craig Stammen had to know that this ownership change was coming. He was hired this week.
By the way, who the fuck cares? Like, Craig Stammen, let's be real. Craig Stammen's probably not going to be the long-term manager of this team.
Exactly.
Who fucking cares? If it's Albert Pujols, I'm probably pissed right now. Be like, yo, I just sat down with John Seider for all this time, and now 3 days later, you're putting the team up for sale?
Yeah, that's a great point. How forthright were they in these conversations with these potential candidates about the organization? All right, guys, we're going to get back to the conversation in a moment. I do want to remind you about a great offer we have going on right now with our friends at SeatGeek. You can get 10% off your first SeatGeek order with our promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Actually, PODSWRAP 10. PADSWRAP 10. You're getting 10% off your first SeatGeek order. Take advantage of these offers going on right now with sporting events in San Diego and beyond. For example, MLS Cup coming to San Diego, the semifinals coming up a week from Monday on the 24th. And this will not be a cheap ticket, as you can tell. You can take 10% off, though, and get inside for this match. Winner moving on to the Western Conference Finals. You can get in for $95, but take 10% off. Again, you can do that with our promo code PODSWRAP10. Click that link in the description down below, whether it's MLS, San Diego State football or basketball, concerts, events in San Diego or elsewhere. We've hooked you up. Take advantage of these offers. Use our promo code. Click the link in the description down below.
Yeah, use our promo code PODSWRAP10 for 10% off. SeatGeek's official ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Obviously, baseball is not going on right now, but the good thing is your tickets are instantly fulfilled and they're downloadable right to your phone, right to your account once you purchase. Use our promo code PODSWRAP10 for 10% off your first SeatGeek order. You go to concerts. You can go to SDFC versus Minnesota on the 24th. Survivor Series is coming up at Petco Park. There's, you know, a bunch. And I know the Petco Park, and they need that place sold out, guys. They need some money. So go to SeatGeek right now. Use our promo code. If you have not purchased from SeatGeek, then use our promo code for 10% off.
Yeah, do you think they're telling the new prospective ownership groups, like, hey, we have some concerts on our lawn. So, like, we have a way for you to create even a few more dollars. You could have a concert on a lawn or shoot WWE.
John Cena's going to be here for one final time.
Yeah, he'll sign a baseball glove for you. You sure you don't want to buy in right now? It's a pretty good offer.
Do you know who John Cena is?
Yes, of course I know who John Cena is. Legendary F1 figure. Yeah, I know who he is. Freaking WWE or whatever. Listen, I want to tie it back to On Field for a second and AJ Preller. So there is no world in which this has not impacted Preller's contract, right?
Oh,
Preller's under contract through 2026. Right. This organization's in flux, to put it mildly. Baseball operations will remain. We're committed to fielding a winner. Give me a break. So if I'm Preller, I got serious questions. Now I can't go anywhere, really. Two reasons. A, I'm under contract. I could get out if I had to. B, there's no GM jobs. Like, I ain't going to the Rockies. So I think all things considered, he's happy to be here. But, like, I need some questions answered if I'm AJ Preller. And then from, like, the ownership perspective, are they really, Jim, does the sale or potential sale really have nothing to do with their ability to field an on-field product? Like, is this not going to get in the way of baseball operations, budgeting? You can't tell me it's not going to get in the way. Like, these have to be tied together. But I just have big-time questions about Preller and his future and baseball operations while the team is in this, you know, seeking a buyer process.
So what did Kevin report today? He's reported this. Said John Seidler and AJ Preller have continued extension talks, but have not discussed terms of a potential deal yet.
That's exactly right.
It's fucking November 13th. What's going on here? It's truly amazing how they can't do anything right. they just can't do anything right. Now, if I'm AJ, and AJ's a smart guy, I don't think Mike Schultz saw this coming. AJ definitely did see this coming. I can bet you that. There's no way AJ didn't see something like this down the road. Maybe he's looking at the situation, knowing what's going to happen, lockout coming up. He's like, nah, I don't want to tie myself to this team long term. Right? I don't know the future of this team. I don't know who's going to be the owner. Because whoever comes in, maybe they want to get rid of everybody. Maybe they want to clean house. You know? I mean, look at Nico Harrison. He barely lasted long with the new Mavericks ownership after he fucking traded away Luka. He was fired like 10 games into the season. So maybe he's looking at it like, you know what? I'm going to hold off on this for a little bit and maybe see what happens with new ownership first. And then we'll go from there. I don't know. But it's interesting how it's November 13th. The season ended October 2nd, and they're still not close to a deal, it seems like.
And if I'm Manny Machado today, I'm yelling at a wall. Like, I'm not thrilled with this, dude. Like, I ain't getting younger. I am signed up long term, which, by the way, is not a bad thing. He's making a lot of money. At the end of the day, the check's going to clear. He's getting paid.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Weeks. So, but I mean, you can't tell me that Manny has no desire to win. I get it. The narratives, he hasn't won at the highest level, but you can't tell me that something like this. I mean, Manny was kind of outspoken last year. He's like, man, I wish we could have brought Profar back, but kind of is what it is. And they still managed to put together a good team on field. But like, if I'm in the group chat tonight with like Manny and Musgrove and Toddy and Bogey and Darvish, that would be an interesting group chat. Like, I got questions, man. I got as many questions if I'm Manny Machado as I probably do as if I'm John Schaefer. Because I don't know what they told Manny Machado, but he ain't no idiot. He's not a dummy. And I'm sure Manny Machado is concerned about what this is going to mean for the Padres. Like, how can you not be? It's the window keeps shrinking, Jim. This window in time where they were going to win a World Series, it keeps shrinking. Some of it is by age and time. The other is because of just the Padres' own doing as an ownership group.
I think it affects the long-term guys more than anything. The Mannys, yeah. The Xanders, the Merrill, the Tatis of the world. Everybody else, to me, it's like they don't care. Like, why would Nick Pivetta care? he's going to be probably gone. Next year. Already gone. I mean, why would Joe care? He's got 2 years left on his deal or whatever. Like, why would Jake Cronenworth care? I mean, maybe Jake. But I think they should get rid of Jake, to be honest with you. But like, why does Freddie Fermin care? You know, like the guys making the most money are the ones that have to look at this and be like, am I going to be in San Diego for the entirety of this contract? Or is the new ownership group that comes in going to look at my deal and be like, that has to go?
I have no idea.
What happened? Did someone text you?
Yes. Yes. Listen, and thank you, Richard, for becoming a member of the channel. You can do the same by clicking the link in the link down below, the join button down below. Just more questions than answers is where we are with the Padres, unfortunately, and you know, I thought the highlight of the GM meetings was going to be like their pickleball tournament and their golf tournament next week in Las Vegas. And I'm honestly, thankfully, the winter meetings aren't in San Diego. It would be a shit show. It would all be about this. I don't even know where they are this year, but they're not in San Diego. Maybe Orlando. I have no idea. This is all that matters now. This is every question. Every question for AJ Preller, Eric Rubner, John Seiler, who doesn't speak. But, I mean, this is everything. You know, we said that with Shields' lawsuit. We said this is the story. It's going to drop. You're not going to recognize it each and every day. It's not going to be front page news. But this is the story of the franchise moving forward. And we were spot on. We said that January 7th or January 8th of this year. And that ultimately, I think the undoing maybe the ownership group is this lawsuit, because we were told by the Sportico writer, like, the most likely outcome here is a sale. That's what happens when there's infighting with lawsuits among family members. And lo and behold, 9-10 months later, Jim, that's exactly what happened. So I kind of give Shield Seiler credit. I mean, if not, maybe this Seiler, you know, family is running this thing for the next 15 years.
Or it takes them a few more years before they sell.
Yeah, exactly. It takes them more time. Yeah.
I think the lawsuit sped everything up, and it's like, do we want to put all this money into fighting this lawsuit and having this get messy along with our debt? Or do we just want to cut the cord now? And my guess is it was the latter.
Yeah, my guess is someone is saying, can we get paid out of this? What are we doing? Why are we running a freaking Major League Baseball team? This is Peter's vision, not ours. Right. Why are we running a Major League Baseball team and carrying $500 million of debt when we can get all paid out right now, here and now? So, I mean, I kind of understandable if you're not in the business of baseball. Machion, thank you. He says, does Grubner have the audacity to show up at FanFest? Of course they do. The people in these positions aren't reading rooms. You know what I mean? AJ Preller speaks to the media and says nothing, and he still speaks to the media and says nothing. I don't think Eric Grubner is going to go hide in a corner because the Padres are going to be sold, even though he said some things that kind of make him look foolish, truthfully, over the last year. But Eric Grubner is going to be wearing his sneakers, Jim, at FanFest in a nice sports coat with nice hair, which he has, you know, with like the hard part, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, life's going to continue, I think, for Eric Rubner. He signed through 2029 with a small percentage of the club. I don't know what it is, 0.1% or 0.2%, but he's got freaking equity in this team.
I can't wait until January 31st for when Manny Machado is at the mic in their like, you know, media room, right? And Marty asks him the question about the Seidler brothers selling the franchise and what he has to say. Because if you know the dynamic that was between Peter Seidler and Manny Machado, it was a very close one. And that goes with Shiel as well. Shiel Seidler, Peter Seidler, Manny Machado, like Manny's team Shiel all day long. You have to remember that. And he's team Peter Seidler all day long. So maybe he says, fuck it. And he just goes scorched earth. Right. Or what I do feel like is Manny, there will be a tone and there will be some choice words that you're going to have to probably read into about his thoughts on the sale. So yeah, I can't wait for that. January 31st, get your popcorn ready, potentially.
I kind of miss Mike Schilt when whomever asked, like Derek Togerson's like, hey Mike, what do you think of the team? I'm glad you asked. And he goes through
7 minutes later
individual player and comments on them. I agree. I mean, there's a lot of fascinating moments to come, including FanFest. Look at this from Sunriser, man. That's very generous. Appreciate you, dude. Sunriser, have you considered putting a group together to buy the Padres? Because you are very generous.
You could.
On the channel. He says lots of emotions. Started with being pissed at the brothers with everything Peter did. Love Peter. Ended with good. These brothers are going to be off and hope someone close to Peter's aspirations become the owner for San Diego. AJ will be fine. The point that I want to follow up there, I'm glad you did this super, and thank you, Sunriser, for supporting our work in this channel. Really appreciate it. The point that should be made, to put a bow on it, Jim, or bring it full circle, we mentioned this a little bit today on John and Jim at the end. Can someone put a group together that would put Shiel Seidler as a forward-facing person in the group? I'm not saying chairperson necessarily, but I'm not saying she wouldn't be. But can someone put a group together with Shiel Seidler as a public-facing figure within the group? That, to me, would be fascinating, and there'd be a lot of goodwill to doing something like that.
Well, as Kevin said today, Shiel owns the biggest percentage of stock in the Padres.
Her and like the brothers, I think, 24%.
Well, she is, I mean, she has a good amount of shares invested mm-hmm. in the Padres. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a great idea to have Shiel be like, here's what you do is whoever the new owner is, day one at the press conference, front row, you have Shiel Seidler and Shiel's and Peter's children sitting there front row. And you acknowledge them. And you acknowledge Peter in a way that isn't just some bullshit answers just to get Peter's name out there to try to use him for your own benefit like his brothers have done. And that would be a good start. And have Shiel be a part of this franchise, absolutely. Because I don't know the dynamic, so I don't know if there was a scheduling conflict or whatnot, but it's hard for me to believe, John, that the widow of the most beloved owner in Padres franchise history, someone who loved this man, has children with this man, just so happens wasn't at the ceremony to announce that, I don't know, a street's named after him. That's a little interesting to me, and it's very weird. And I know she posted about it, and she, you know, thanked the mayor and everything, but she wasn't there. Again, I don't know if scheduling conflicts, but it's hard for me to believe that any scheduling conflict would take away from her being there for that moment that a street next to Petco Park is named after her late husband.
Yeah, like if there's a street named after me, you better be there, Jim. And Kristen, my wife. But Jim, specifically.
Mostly me, not Kristen.
More you. Sunriser following up. Thank you, man. So generous. He says that would be awesome considering family drama. Would the brothers allow that? Oh, talking about Sheil Seidler as like a front person. Well, let me just read this from Kevin's article, Jim. Mm-hmm. The largest stake in the team, and they put some parentheses, around 24%, is held by the Peter Seidler Trust, of which Sheil Seidler and their three young children are the beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Those four, Sheil and her children, you could argue it's 24% Sheil until the age of the children is whatever, or it's 6% each, Sheil and the three children, equaling 24. That's the largest percentage. What's interesting here, think about that, is that if this club is sold for $2 million, 25% of $2 billion is $500 million. That is what is owed to Peter Seidler Trust. The beneficiaries are Sheil and the three children. So maybe there is a manner in which they could be part of the next ownership group of the San Diego Padres. Who the hell knows? But you're right. There's a lot of goodwill, including Sheil Seidler as part of a group, the next group that owns the Padres. LLM, thank you for the super, says, is the window closed for the Padres? They're old. I don't think you could just say that. I don't think you could just, I'm not going to, I wouldn't, if not for this ownership change, Jim, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight on this November 14th. Like, that's over. No chance. I don't think you'd say that.
They'll compete next year. At to what level, I don't know. We'll see what happens this offseason. They have a lot of holes in the rotation.
They sure do.
Honestly, John, if there's no lockout in 2027.
Yep.
How many years do you give it?
Give what?
This quote-unquote window they have with like Manny and Xander and Toddy and Merrill.
Yeah, I don't love the window right now. I mean, I think it's kind of shrunk down to like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, until you completely reinvent yourself. But yeah, I think this window, yeah, it's not more than 2 years for me. I don't think they have a better chance of winning the World Series in 2028 than they do right now.
I know that Padres fans like would hate it, but like, for the betterment of the team going forward.
Don't say it.
What do you think I'm going to say?
No way you're saying what I think you might be saying.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I have to do with Tatis?
No, not Tatis.
Manny?
The other guys make $300 million.
That's fine. That's fine. It's not going to happen though.
And no, I'm just saying fans would hate it and they'd be pissed. But like, if you took a step back and you thought about it reasonably, trading away Manny, and I mean, I don't fucking know about Xander. I mean, Xander's literally like the immovable object.
There's no chance you can move freaking Xander Bogart's contract or Manny's, I don't think.
But getting rid of Manny and having this team be built around Tatis and Merrill going forward,
yeah,
is the smart play. But it would never happen. I won't say never.
Close to that. I would say this. I think Nightingale doesn't know what he's talking about. Although with the benefit of hindsight, the idea of creating Fernando Tatis Jr. knowing the ownership is in flux. Listen, I don't think it's happening, but could you envision a world where a tweet is sent by Jeff Passan that says, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s representation is seeking a trade out of San Diego. Therefore, it's not on the ownership and it's on the player. It's not on the team, but the player is requesting out. I'm not saying we're going to see it, but we've seen weirder things with Tatis, including his suspension.
The thing with Bob Nightingale, because I've seen this recently, it's like, oh, Bob was actually right. Like no, Bob's not right. Bob was stating that the Padres, Bob, like, took his report of who can be traded this offseason to, oh, Tatis actually maybe can be traded in the future. It's like, no, you idiot. You specifically said players to be traded this offseason. And we went on the air and was like, that's the dumbest shit ever. It's not happening this year. We never said it never is going to happen ever. We just said it's not going to happen this season, which Bob initially reported. And then he started to go down the route of like, well, you know, in the future, blah, 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 blah. It's like, Bob, no, you can't do that. It's not what you wrote.
Yeah, the future, nobody can predict 10 years. I mean, it's so stupid. He might be right 9 years because anything could happen. Anything.
But just specifically this offseason alone.
Yeah, he's not.
Not happy.
Yeah, I agree. Keaton, thank you. Says it's John Sava, the most boring man in the world.
Yes.
Who even knows? I mean, I've never even.
But I don't even know. Who is this guy? I mean, we heard from him one time on the TV broadcast for a half an inning or maybe an inning. And all I remember from that interview was I was like, I can't believe this guy is putting me to sleep right now. Like, that's how I felt.
What has happened over the last 5 years from like Juan Soto and Peter Seidler and 2022's postseason and 2024's lead over the Dodgers in the postseason to today? What the hell has happened?
Yeah, the best chance for this team. I know I said today the best chance was 2024. It was 2022 and 2024. I mean, think about it. They were actually closer, way closer in 2022. They had fucking home field advantage in the NLCS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So 2022, I think 2024 is the better team of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But 2022 might be the closest this team gets in a long time.
Insane. You're right. Sunriser, appreciate you following up. He says the Padres valuation may go down a few million. LOL, trading Toddy. Crazy. 3 million plus attendance 2 years in a row. I think it's actually 3 years in a row. Likely the best time to cash out. Yeah, it's you're in front of the lockout. So that creates an unstable situation. Nobody knows what that's going to look like.
But Sunriser is right. You know, when you talk about trades, like, is Ethan Salas tradable right now? Like, no, you'd be selling low, right? Leo DeVries, you're selling very high. At this moment in time with the Padres, you're right. They're selling at a peak, you know, coming off of back-to-back 91 seasons. This fan base is incredible. It's known as one of the best fan bases in baseball. They packed that stadium. The stadium is beautiful. The renovations, everything, the City Connect 2.0s and all, like, they're selling at a high point. Like, that's right. So, I mean, they're smart to do it. But it is what, you know, it is what it is.
All right. How do I pull this comment down? I do want to thank our partners over at Underdog Fantasy. Great offer going on for you right now with our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You're getting a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. You're getting a free gimme pick. And if you play $5, you're getting $50 in bonus funds. Just terrific, terrific offer. Easiest place, best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. It really is. You get a gimme pick, you pair it with anything else, and you can win. What's a pick? Like higher or lower than, you know, 199.5 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes, or higher or lower than a half rushing touchdown for Saquon Barkley, so on and so forth. You get two or more right, and you can win big, up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. Click that link in the description down below. Take advantage of our three offers with our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You get a 50% deposit match. You get a free gimme pick, and you get the $50 in bonus funds when you play $5.
Scan the QR code right there. Go to the app, download Underdog Fantasy, use our promo code PODSWRAP, start playing today.
All right, we will be with you tomorrow on John and Jim at 2 p.m. Much more reaction. Full coverage to the news that the Padres are exploring a sale of the franchise. All right, and what does that mean for this team moving forward in 2026 and beyond? If you have not subscribed to this channel, what are you waiting for? Please do that for us. Please subscribe to this channel, year-round content. For Padres fans, smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. And support our partners, our friends at Humul Casino and SeatGeek and Underdog. And, of course, our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. For Undisclosed Location Jim, I am John. This has been the wrap-up show. We'll see you tomorrow, too. Thanks, guys. Peace.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.